Countrywide on RTE Radio 1.
What Johnny Murtagh was just saying about the Aga Khan's investment in racing infrastructure in the east of the country leads me on to our next topic this morning. Where does most investment happen? Where is most wealth generated? Where in Ireland do people have the most money in their pockets? John Daly is an economist working with the Northern and Western Regional Assembly, which was established about 10 years ago to foster regional development. He was very interested to read the findings of the most recent statistics on county incomes and regional GDP published this week by the CSO. More on that in a second. John, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Philip, and thanks very much for having us on the show.
Will you remind us to begin, please, which counties does the NWRA, the Assembly, cover?
Yeah, so the Northern Western Regional Assembly would specifically be focused on the eight counties of Galway, Mayo, Roscommon, Donegal, Sligo, Leitrim, Cavanagh and Monaghan. So I suppose as a public body, our overarching remit, as you said, is the support and delivery of balanced regional development. I suppose, and relatively speaking, we are a relatively new body. I know it's only about 10 years, but in comparison to the history of the state, the regional assemblies, effectively our responsibilities, you know, range from acting as the managing authority of the European Regional Development Fund, developing policy. But I suppose what brings us to yourself today is, as part of our remit, is to support development and research.
Tell me to that end, will you, John, please? How much of the population lives in that region and how much of the big project investment does the region get?
Yeah, so based on the latest census data, the Northern Western region of Ireland accounts for just under 18% of Ireland's population, specifically 17.6%. Now, we would have released what we call a regional infrastructure tracker a few months ago, and we kind of looked at the distribution of investments associated with public sector tenders worth more than 1 million euros and in public sector tenders worth more than 20 million euros. And despite the fact the Northern Western region of Ireland accounts for 17.6% of Ireland's population, the region only accounted for 9.9% of all of the investment associated with public sector tenders worth more than 1 million euros.
So there is a disparity there.
Below average.
There's a disparity there then. But tell me, how do disposable incomes look comparatively compared to Dublin?
Yeah, so based on the latest, I suppose, figures from the CSO, which were released this week, the average disposable income per person in the Northern Western region of Ireland amounted to just over 26,000 per person, which was below the corresponding level of just over 29,000 in the Eastern Midland region. Now, I suppose, Philip, for your own listener's sake, the Eastern Midland region covers everything from Dublin and across to the Midlands, but specifically the average disposable income level in Dublin was just over 32,000. Now, it's no surprise to see that was followed by Cork and Limerick, which obviously we associated with large metropolitan areas, whereas the lowest level of disposable income in the state was in Longford at just over 22,000, followed by Laois and Donegal. But what's very interesting, Philip, about the data is that it shows that over the past decade, regional inequalities in terms of disposable income have progressively risen. So just to give you an example, a decade ago, the gap between the Northern Western region and the leading Eastern Midland region in terms of disposable income per head of population was around 3%. Now that gap has risen to 10% as per the latest figures, whereas we're seeing a similar level in the county level as well.
But John, anybody listening in the Eastern Midlands or in Dublin would say, fair enough, the cost of living is so much more expensive in these areas.
Absolutely. And look, and take your point on that. And like, while housing costs in absolute terms are higher in the greater Dublin area, I think it is important to note that the level of disposable income in a region or a county reflects many economic factors, not just housing costs. You know, it reflects population flows, employment composition, investment opportunities. And notably, over the past decade, when we've seen these regional disparities in terms of income rising, average house prices in the Northern Western region have actually risen at a faster raced in the East or Midland region. Just to give your listeners an example here, over the past decade or so, when this disparity has risen, average house prices in the North and Western region have risen just over 99% compared to price inflation in the East or Midland region of just over 70%. So while whatever is driving the rising gap, housing costs not necessarily are the driving factor. I think one of the biggest problems we're seeing is that much of this disparity can be explained by the economic underperformance of the Northern Western region compared to national trends. And I think this was exemplified by the fact that the European Commission actually downgraded our region's economy from a leading economic status known as a more developed region to a lower economic status known as a transition region. Okay. Now, that's not to say, Philip, that the economy hasn't risen. It just hasn't kept up the pace with the rest
just
of the country.
Just not as fast as everywhere else. No, I get that. But there is another really interesting index here, and it is that in the region that you're representing, people are shown to be less trusting of government than elsewhere. Do you think that these gaps in income, these gaps in investment, mean that the state is kind of losing the dressing room in the Northwest?
Yeah, well, just to give your listeners some context there, I suppose that data stems from the European Commission's Eurobarometer, which effectively sends out surveys to residents across the regions in the EU. And what's been interesting is that, as you touched on there, the percentage of people that mistrust central government or national institutions is notably higher in the Northern Western region in comparison to the other regions under Project Ireland 2040. Now, research from the OECD would note that in countries where regional disparities are rising, they tend to be associated with relatively higher levels of mistrust from rural residents in more rural-orientated regions. And to compact this, one of the OECD's key recommendations is that we need to increase more regional autonomy, provide more powers and responsibilities to the regional local authorities. Obviously, it brings decision-making closer to the residents that are actually affected on the ground. And your listeners might be aware of this, Philip, but Ireland is actually one of the most centralised government systems in the OECD. Just under 10% of all government expenditure in Ireland is from local and regional authorities, but that's well out of kilter with the corresponding norms in Europe and across the OECD, like, say, Denmark. Just over 60% of all expenditure is from local and regional authorities. So there's a lot more regional autonomy there, say, for example.
Right, your remedy to this is a wish list of large infrastructural investment projects. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to start on that list, and then I'm going to ruthlessly cut you off when I run out of time. Go for it.
That's fair. No, our first key recommendation is we want to see ring-fence funding for under the National Development Plan. We want specifically, as a starting point, to deliver our 13 priority projects that we outlined in the Regional Infrastructure Tracker, along with our projects committed to under our Regional Spatial Economic Strategy. Like, these range from reasonable projects that can be delivered, such as the Donegal 10T projects, the redevelopment of the N17, but also the expansion of our the Atlantic Technology University and University of Galway, as well as more environmentally sustaining projects such as the Western Railway Corridor and more dual track lines across the region.
All right.
As well as...
Oh, God, you are actually stopping. You must be the only person that's ever come on this programme and taken the hint to stop talking when I said it. John Daly, you're very good. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. NWRA, for more information on that wish list of 13 investment projects that John is looking for.